Have you ever gotten ice cream from the supermarket and you scoop it out, but it just doesn't have that ice cream parlor taste? Well, guess what? Did you know you can find real, unbelievably creamy ice cream at the grocery store? Yeah, that's right. Tillamook ice cream is made with more cream, so you get smooth, dreamy scoops each time. I'm not going to lie. The flavors are delicious and in family-sized cartons. I love their vanilla bean. Vanilla bean, to me, is the way that you judge anyone's ice cream, and their rich vanilla ice cream made with real crushed vanilla bean seeds is delicious. Or their Oregon strawberry. Oh, I love it. Sweet strawberry ice cream with ripe Oregon strawberry pieces. So, so good. Plus, you got to check out their Mudslide flavor. It's smooth chocolate ice cream with a ribbon of rich fudge and chocolatey chips. Oh, it's so good. I got to go get some ice cream right now. Plus, you know you're in good hands with Tillamook brand. They make over 200 different dairy products, and the brand is farmer-owned and led by dairy experts. Boy, oh boy, I love them all, and you're going to love them too. Whether it's birthday cake, peaches and cream, mint chocolate chip, banana split, or cookies and cream, there is a flavor for you. Find Tillamook ice cream near you at Tillamook.com. That's Tillamook.com. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. How is your sock drawer looking? I know when I open up mine, it is a sad scene. There's lone socks, holy socks. Well, guess what? It's spring cleaning, which means Bombas Spring Collection is here, and they have new garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They've got stripes and florals, all new vintagey colored rib socks. I love them. They are the best sock your feet have ever been in. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers and use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout.
Art, as defined by Webster's Dictionary, will never truly capture the moment when you see and or experience something that moves you and makes you think. Art is truly something that is indescribable. Rarely is there a shared experience or reference point. The Mona Lisa, the David, American Gothic, and of course, the Enchanted Peasant Girl. We saw Mannequin 2 on the move, so you know what that means.
Worth it. How did this get made? We're gonna have a good time celebrating things. We're not just being here. Cause we really wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. Glad to hear it. And Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Paul, I love you with all of my heart.
Thank you, Jason.
It is wonderful to see you.
Great to see you as well. And we have a very special guest today. He is a hilarious comedian and actor. You've seen him on the Sarah Silverman Show. You probably follow him on Twitter. Please welcome Steve Agee.
Thanks, guys. AG. Good to be here. Great to be here.
Very excited to have you. Now, the last movie that we did on this show also involved department store.
I was like, what's going on with department stores?
You know department what, though, store magic.
But that was a thing with the movie. Like, department stores were
huge.
Huge, because they were new at that time. Like, departments, or the department store that we now know.
Yeah, mall department store.
Yeah, that mall department store was in, like, every early 90s movie.
Well, I feel like there's that other movie, Career Opportunities, where it was, like, the guy who was, like,
Jennifer Connelly movie, right?
Yeah. They're like, we should do that one next. But just like people just hanging out in malls and like, what could you do in a big department store where there were like boats and tents and clothes, you know?
But it was like this movie posits like department store as museum as well. Like there's also like a museum exhibit going on.
We got to get into all this.
It's a show, I mean.
There's a stage. There's a theater. There's a full theater in a department store.
And for performers. And rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
Before we even
get to dance sequences. There's so many dance sequences. And I feel like they were like, how can we have dance sequences, fashion montages, and mannequins all in one place? And somebody was like, set it all in a giant department store?
Well, here's the thing. It's a sequel. It's based on the original. Well, not based on the original. It's a sequel that is jumping off from the first movie, which took place in a department store. But
which
everything,
is a natural place for a mannequin to 100%. Live. I have no problem with that.
Yes.
But this movie didn't need the department store because they never use her as a mannequin.
Yes.
She is not a mannequin.
Well, let's go back. I realized that last night. Like, let's go back to the beginning.
Think about
that. Let's go back to the beginning.
The movie starts in medieval times, and it's medieval times. I was going to say, by medieval times, a restaurant. It's like SoCal kids running around going like, hey, dude. Like, no attempt at an accent, no attempt. They're the cleanest medieval times people I've ever seen.
Yeah, because usually those medieval times people are real dirty.
Well, just like, I mean, there's
dirty,
no,
filthy monsters.
But there's just nothing about, like, they look cartoonish and and
so colorful, and that even the bridge that they're on had like bricks that are like very 19th century.
I mean, like, the sword fight is ridiculous. All of it is like laughable.
I think that even the wizard goes, Madam Sweetie Pie.
Yeah, but it's almost like it's almost like to the degree of like Robin Hood Men in Tights or Princess Bride level, like winking at the audience, you know?
I would 100% agree. I feel like it does feel like an updated medieval time show. It just is like with some better looking.
And she certainly didn't seem like a peasant girl.
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, her outfit was very nice in the beginning, and she looked very clean, like with running water. And
She's a middle class peasant, for sure.
But she's like a garbage person in the eyes of the queen.
Sure. Here's my question. The girl she's with in the very beginning of the movie, is that her daughter?
What? No.
No,
sister. That's her sister.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
I mean, I just assumed it was.
Yeah,
I didn't know who it was.
It would be really weird if she had a daughter and was like ready to ride off on the back of this dude's horse.
This was medieval times. It's not unthinkable. Yeah.
It would be amazing if this movie set up a world in which a single mother rides off on the horse of a prince, leaving her 10-year-old daughter behind to just fend for her
die of the plague.
Yeah.
Even if it's her sister, she seemed to have a maternal relationship with her.
Well, they're just staring out the window.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was worried about that girl and what happened to
her.
The window,
the glass window.
That little girl died.
Yeah, you said
that
it
little
so,
girl for sure
June
died.
Said it so nonchalantly. She's like, ma'am, she's dead.
Well, she's definitely dead.
I did want, well they're, of course, all dead. But she lived a long, healthy life.
We don't know.
In that, a thousand years ago. So
the plague could have hit.
She lived to the ripe old age of 27, which was the life expectancy. Well, I was fascinated, too, by the fact that when Christy Swanson, America's the love of young boys' lives at that time, comes back to life a thousand years later and never is like, oh no, what about my family? What about my sister?
Oh,
like, she says it once.
She does?
Yes. She mentions it once, like, oh, I can't wait to see my family again. And then it's like, never.
You won't.
She adapts so quickly. Just so if you have not seen this movie, which I highly recommend that you do, the premise is that a queen puts a curse on a peasant girl because her son, the prince, wants to marry her. He puts a necklace on. And this is where the movie gets foggy for me, in the sense that,
because this is the first scene and it's already getting foggy.
Yeah, it already is having some plot holes. So they put a necklace around
royal
her neck,
jewels.
Royal jewels, and then she freezes into a mannequin, not a stone statue.
No, a wooden statue is basically what they're saying.
Yes,
but it's a mannequin.
Wooden mannequin.
Yeah.
And she, now if you take off the necklace, would she always come to life? Or was it just in a thousand years if you took off the necklace she would come to life? I didn't understand
the
logic.
Clear, yeah.
Okay, so in my understanding of it, the necklace was going to make her a mannequin. But to break that spell, she had to be with her one true love. But also, she had to be wearing the jewels.
But also,
so
the true love had
conditions.
To come from a foreign land.
But also, they
think or something. There was like a bunch of caveats to it. But it seems to me to be like wearing the necklace, frozen, not wearing the necklace, not frozen.
Right. But then later on, they put the necklace on another character. We'll get into this. They put a character. Oh. He gets a necklace on. He freezes. But then later on, when they want to put the necklace on the bad guy, they need to like enchant him in some way.
Yeah.
To make him.
Yeah. Well, she says the same incantation that the queen says upon putting the necklace on her,
but
which is like a curse, a thousand year curse.
It seems to me, though, that the true love aspect of it has nothing to do with it.
So bad.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood, who we know from the first movie, of course, the necklace is put on him later in the movie, and then he's.
Hold on a second. You're telling me, because I don't remember Mannequin One at all. You're telling me Hollywood is in the first movie?
He's the crossover character.
Okay, so, but he's surprised that there's another.
You can hear him say, oh no, I've seen this before.
Oh, but he does. Okay.
But he says it one line and never does he get into it deeper than that. he goes, I wrote it down because it's a, he said it so nonchalantly. He said, it happened once before. He goes, this is crazy. He goes, it happened once before. No explanation.
Oh, wow.
And they go off to run.
But it didn't happen once before with a magical necklace and a curse.
No, it happened once before, like, in a very different way.
Her name is also Jessie. A thousand years ago, a peasant girl is named Jessie with, like, a heart over the eye at the end. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck world are we living in?
She is a valley girl. I mean, she is. And now, look,
I loved her in this movie.
She's great.
I did, too.
Amazing.
I had the hugest crush on Christy Swanson.
And she's beautiful. And she actually, I think, plays this character
really well. She's delightful.
Yep.
She's just delightful to watch. I could watch her all day long. But my big problem with this movie is the first Mannequin was about a woman who is a mannequin who came to life. Why not make the sequel about a male mannequin?
Oh.
Mannequin.
Mannequin.
Mannequin. Mannequin sounds too much like mannequin.
Mannequin.
So, and in Mannequin 1.
Yes.
One of the best movies.
Because I genuinely do not remember it at all.
I don't either.
I went a little back and I've.
Is there a similar kind of curse?
Yes. Different though. Here's the thing in Mannequin 1. There is an Egyptian curse put on Kim Cattrall.
Yes, I remember it being Kim Cattrall.
And what happens is a mannequin designer, Andrew McCarthy,
who's amazing.
Amazing.
In the movie.
Yep. He speaks to, but he's also amazing at his job. He's a very good mannequin, like designer. Like he is the top tier guy. And he talks to all of his creations. And then one time his creation talks back. And that's the, like, so his creation comes to life.
But it's not fulfilling some destiny. It's not like this movie where there's, like, a lot of, like, weird.
No.
There's no backstory.
There's no one after him in that movie. But here's the problem that I have just based on, and a Mannequin should be great, but they go from New York City. Like, New York City.
Yeah.
And it's like, he is the best.
The fashion industry. The mannequin.
And he's, like, the best window designer, and it's for the biggest store, to Philadelphia.
Yep.
Germantown.
We are about to make a lot of enemies.
I was going to say, I apologize to anyone.
I don't know where this is going, Paul, but I do not share your sentiments.
I'm going to really take down Philadelphia. Philadelphia, you got Creed, and that's all you got. Rocky and Creed, and fuck you.
But I feel like they chose Germantown because the original princess was in Germany.
I think you're right, but I think it is such a downgrade to everything because it's like, why would you tour this mannequin in Germantown?
Oh, man, we're going to get so many notes.
And then on top of this, let me tell you, Philadelphia.
You don't deserve to have a touring production of a mannequin from a different country show up in one of your store museums.
South Street, huh?
They literally say, like, all the elite of Philadelphia will be there.
Right, and Paul is saying, who's that? Trash people. Wrong. There are no elites in Philadelphia. You don't deserve our seven to ten elite people. I just want to say that Paul is speaking only for himself. I think Philadelphia has wonderful elites. I would be proud if anything that I did was set there or went there. You know, Philadelphia.
Now, while he's saying this, Jason is just writing on the table, Philadelphia sucks. And he threw an arrow through the Philadelphia Eagles' head.
It went from the crossbow that the Count has in this movie.
Which he steals from a JanSport display.
I do not want to discuss.
There's an off limits?
Yes, this is a topic that's off limits, and I really beg.
Can I guess what it is?
Nauseous.
Can I guess what it is? Yes. It's his hairy mole.
Yes.
Oh my God! Why?
That should be the end of the discussion.
Okay, so we just said the main evil man has a hairy mole.
Was that just so we would know it was the same guy from the cold open?
I think so. Yeah,
but the mole hair was like 4 inches long.
Jason. And that's enough.
I want to get into the bad guy.
I first thought he had a monocle, and it was like the string from a fucking monocle.
Yep. No,
I just want to talk about, I want to slam Philadelphia one more time.
Oh, wow.
And just say this. What I think was such a downgrade, two parts. One, Hollywood is in New York, killing it in New York, and then it seems that he's got something downgraded to Philadelphia.
Fallen on hard
like,
times.
Like, just moving out to L.A., do something. Like, but it seemed like he's went from the heights to the lows. You don't go from
You're
New
calling
York
Philadelphia
to Philly.
The lows? You don't go, quote unquote, you don't go from New York to Philly is what you just said.
I agree. Wow. In the fashion world,
he goes from Saks Fifth Avenue.
Once again, I won't back this. I don't agree
and
with this.
And then I want to just say one more thing. And he takes this fucking mannequin to show her Main Street. Yep. And it's the dumpiest Main Street of all. It's like a souvlaki stand. Yeah. And it looks like an abandoned building.
So now you're taking on souvlaki stands as well? You know what, pal? I would sit idly by while you trash Philadelphia, one of our great cities, the first American capital.
Oh, forget
it. To watch you trash it, to then have you double down and trash the most delicious Greek food that has ever been created is shameful, sir. Now, make sure you guys get on the forums and write to Paul Scheer.
Are you from Philadelphia?
No.
Oh, okay.
But there was something so anticlimactic about going like, I want to show you my city. Yeah. And it's really and they could have done it in downtown.
Oh, man.
Showed me a building.
Now,
they
Paul,
just
correct
you
me
like,
if I'm wrong. You're from New York, right?
Yeah, bro. New York all the way. Fuck you, Philly. We'll eat your cheesesteaks, and then we'll come home.
You just can't deny, though. I mean, New York City is the greatest city on earth.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have a – I think
it's also the head of
–
like, just keep it in – the world, I feel like there's a tax
fashion, break. And this movie is not about fashion.
Sure it is. It's about a department store.
Okay. This movie's not about even window displays.
No.
This is not about, mannequins. Like, a mannequin doing what a mannequin should be doing.
Right.
Selling clothing. Like, has nothing to do with this film.
I mean, like, that's kind of, again, I don't want to speak for what is expected of mannequins, because I think any mannequin should be able, or mannequin, should be able to do whatever they want if their dreams will allow it. But I get it. What you're saying is what they're doing is there to sell clothes, which is pretty reductive, June.
I think I don't know another use for a mannequin or a mannequin.
Wow.
I don't. Wow.
Really appealing to
masturbation.
I don't.
I am shocked to hear how limiting you feel like mannequins are.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I'm in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough, but Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about. You choose your tone and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning. And when I launched my book, I said I'm doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you travel, do concerns back home nag at you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? Well, if they do, That's why you should invest in SimpliSafe home security today. That's right. For award-winning security and peace of mind wherever you go, SimpliSafe wants to be there with you by actually not going there at all, but staying at your house. Listen, Newsweek ranked it the best customer service in home security. Plus, it gives you whole home protection, sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Plus, a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, no contracts, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. I'm going to tell you this. It's worth it for the peace of mind to know that when I'm on tour, when I'm out there in the UK, I can check in on my house. And with the time difference between LA and Europe, I loved having the 24/7 professional monitoring service in case something happened when I was asleep or not reachable. SimpliSafe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/bonkers. That's simplisafe.com/bonkers. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I do have an issue with the fact that they made this another woman, because I felt like, wow. There's something so appealing about seeing a beautiful, still, lifeless woman to men.
Right.
And I have a real issue with that. And the fact that they didn't flip that for the sequel is
It totally
really
should have been a dude.
Yeah.
And I thought Chrissy Swanson was great. I thought Kim Cattrall was amazing. And I love watching that. Fine. But there's something so gross to me about, like, using this concept of a woman who's still and silent and beautiful.
Yeah. It's just an object really to be,
well,
to
there,
be looked
there
at.
There literally is no connection between the main character and this girl. Like, she comes to life. He kisses a mannequin.
That's weird. Yeah, that was
so
weird.
Really weird.
But fucking pervert.
Yeah.
He also saves her quote-unquote life when the mannequin falls into the water.
Well, that's
the,
yeah.
They didn't need to happen. Did he ever jump into that water?
No, didn't need to happen.
He jumps into water to save a mannequin, and it makes no sense.
Which should float also.
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's a stone.
That just necklace is fucking heavy,
wood.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's
a heavy curse.
But he kisses her, and then she comes to life, and they really have no connection besides eating, like, shawarma, and they go out.
Well, in her mind, they do, because he's...
Yes.
In her
nice.
Mind. But in his mind, like, he has no
she
connection to her.
She wants weasel meat.
By the way,
is
the
that,
only
is
moment...
Is that what he calls his dick?
The only moment in that movie of her, like... adjusting to modern times is going, oh, so when the little man flashes green, you can walk?
Oh, yeah.
There's no, like, what the fuck is this? Like,
she's on board for it.
She's in that car.
She says, I love cars. I love electricity. I love America. Which is, if you jumped forward 1,000 years, those are the three highlights that you'd be like, I'm on board, guys.
But meanwhile, this guy takes out a fucking fire extinguisher and shoots out a little, like, foam, and she passes out. Yeah. Like, that was the thing that pushed her over the edge. Not the electricity.
Smoke.
Not the fact that people smell good. Not the fact that, like, not the fact that things are clean, a red fire extinguisher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would almost argue that would be maybe the closest thing to a medieval. It looks like some sort of contraption she would be familiar with. Oh, my gosh. And she's a peasant.
Yeah.
So everything should be doubled.
Yeah.
Like, if you were just coming.
Food should be amazing.
Food, everything.
Everything should be. She should be losing her mind. Like, the movie could be about her just experiencing the most simple of things and having her mind completely blown.
And
I think
she
what
gets,
they were going for, which I do think she was great at, was just that she's completely, like, a daft person, be it in medieval times or in present day. That she's an innocent and wide-eyed and just, you know, in love.
I didn't like the way they kissed in medieval times. Like, he kind of, like, it's like, blah, 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 blah. Like,
and
it's like
she
a very,
keeps
like,
going, more, again, more. And I was like, what is this? Yeah, the kissing was gross. And there is, like, every time, I will say this, and I did find their chemistry, Christy Swanson and the guy, to be light and charming and fine. But
really?
It was totally fine for me. I genuinely enjoyed this movie.
You like?
AG and I were talking about this before you guys got here.
You gotta watch the first one.
Totally enjoyed the movie. And I was like, I'm on board for it. Like, this is not terrible. Neither of them is terrible. They're both doing a great job. But every time she is a mannequin and he's just acting with the mannequin, it was the straight up creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And like, it when didn't look touching, like her at all. The mannequin. No. But what? The mannequin of Hollywood looked exactly like
and
him.
And the yeah. mannequin of Terry Kaiser looked, yeah. Terry Kaiser, Weekend at Bernie's, he's the bad guy. And I'm surprised that they were actually able to finish shooting this movie because he ate the scenery so much. That guy.
Oh my God.
I kind of grew to love it, but
I love him.
He was, in a way, the most mustache twirly, like literally
the most
mustache twirly.
Well, he was wart actually hair wart hair twirly. But sorry, Jane.
All right.
But yeah, I think the movie is just, it's bizarre because it doesn't really follow, like, it just kind of like runs a path and then it goes, well, we'll change it now. And it just, I think that's the craziest thing about the movie. The chemistry is.
Well, it's hard because the relationship between Andrew McCarthy and Kim Cattrall was so amazing.
Yes.
And his reactions to her when she's a mannequin are so great. Like, that doesn't come across as creepy in the first one. He's just so good and so lovable that, like, you could watch.
This guy doesn't seem too freaked out that she even comes to life. Like, no one reacts really to anything at any given point. Yeah. Like, they're so freaked out about this mannequin falling in the water. Then he just takes that and he's like, well, I guess we'll just bring it in my car back to the...
But then when they're driving back, he's holding the mannequin like it's a person.
Yeah.
He's like cradled, the mannequin is like cradled in his arms. Yeah. And then he's like, where people are like freaking out when they see him like in the diner with the mannequin. There's like throngs of people outside the diner looking in at him standing with a mannequin.
This is a weird part of the movie because it becomes a little bit like Lars and the Real Girl. Like, he has had this like amazing night where he like spent this night with this great mannequin, and he wakes up in the morning.
When she's alive. When she's
alive, yes.
She comes the first time she comes to life. They have like an amazing night.
He squeezes some oranges, puts it in the microwave. It becomes orange juice.
His mom. I want to talk about his mom for like 10 hours.
Oh my God, the mom.
Talk about why all of her like dating clients come over at 9 p.m.
Later?
What was that about?
Because they were coming home from the club. They were coming home from the club in which they had a full night. Like those two.
That guy. He's doing his dating video profile. The guy that is his Jason, by the way, lead character's name is Jason, which is like pretty rad.
You love that.
He was a pretty cool guy. Pretty much got it. But like Jason and the mannequin are sneaking in like after clubbing all night. And his boss inexplicably is there because his mom is like a video dating profile person. And she's making his video profile like, what are your interests?
But yet he's being very like weird. Like,
he's lying.
I can't reveal what I do
he's like
or who I am.
1980s Newman.
But it's Stuart Pankin, classic character actor. But but his whole thing was like, he was like, I work in a, it's like, you fucking manage a mall. Like, it's not like you're like Brad Pitt or something. No, where you have to hide your identity.
He's like, I work in a pet store.
And by the
like,
way, in the beginning of the movie, he's the most evil, villainous character. And then turns out to be a huge buffoon.
And
like
a real
they could have fixed so many holes in this movie by making either him just the main bad guy instead of Terry Kaiser, or
but this
get
is
him
what's
out.
So strange about the movie because you think when the count shows up that that those are the stakes that they have to somehow impress him. I mean, I don't even want to get into like why there's a show.
Yeah, why are they touring around a mannequin?
Why is the staff of a department store at an airport to meet a foreign dignitary? Why is that happening?
By the way, why not just put this whole fucking thing in a museum and it could be a mannequin, but in a museum instead of a fucking department store? It would have been great.
By the way, it's mannequin too. It's about a fucking statue.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Don't worry about it.
Just but by the way,
because she's never used as
like
a mannequin.
No.
They could have used any mannequin in that store.
And by the way, when they do reveal her as a mannequin in mannequin form, she comes out of a fucking spaceship, which is not even of the right ilk for her character because she is peasant girl.
Yep.
Like that, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, I have a lot.
All easily fixable holes, too. It could have been a really good movie.
It felt to me like there was, I felt like they had a script and they said, okay, Steve, here's the premise. You don't get to read the scenes that come before. You just, this is what you have to do in this scene. You have to accomplish this. You're, got it. And you read it. And then you give it to Jason. Like, Jason,
Exquisite Corpse?
Yeah. It's exact, because it feels like we're using all the same characters, but it doesn't seem like, from scene to scene, like the mom, like the girl, the mannequin comes home and she's like, "Your look, your mom gave me this device to see everybody's lives," and she's
it's
watching
Days of Our Lives,
and she's watching soap operas. Yep. But yeah. Then her mom, when they pull a mannequin from upstairs, mom's like, "He's dating a mannequin." It's like, no, woman, you just let him in. You well, let this also, woman upstairs 5 minutes ago.
There's also
you're
a whole
asking
thing.
Asking if he fucked it, too.
Well, yeah, there's like a lot
I hear
of,
the
yeah.
shower. Did you sleep
who's
with
in
her?
The bathroom? She Mom. Says, who's in the bathroom? And he says, oh, it's a girl and blah, blah, blah. But then she's like shocked to find him with a mannequin. She definitely heard someone in the bathroom.
But I'm saying she saw her
yeah.
come up the stairs minutes before the cops come in at the end. And
well,
they clearly
I think,
gave
though,
them-
that. I do think that the mannequin version of Christy Swanson doesn't look that much like her.
At all.
So I don't know that if I saw Christy Swanson and if I saw the mannequin version of her that I would necessarily think they were the same person.
So you think the mom also thinks that Christy
there's
Swanson is
a girl upstairs?
Possibly.
They're having a threesome with a mannequin.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
But then – and then – to get to the – like, so there's so much confusion here. And then the main bad guy's plan, from what I can distill, is – to get enough money to go to Bermuda?
No, he's waiting for her
yes,
to wake back
what?
Up. He's waiting for her to wake back up because he wants to marry her for some reason.
He's going
to
force himself.
How did he stay alive for 1,000 years?
He's the great, 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 great grandson. He says, like, he does a big thing when he's talking to.
Yes. Oh, I thought he was alive for 1,000 years.
No, he's the grandson.
I was just saying it.
Oh, that
I feel
makes
like
no
been
sense.
For like 20 Sorry. Minutes.
Paul, you know what? Paul got all fired up about
Philadelphia.
He emailed me today and he was like, get ready. I'm taking down
turn
Philly.
I'm turning it up today. I'm turning it.
I literally feel like you've been screaming for 20 minutes.
Podcast, everybody. I'm just baffled. I'm baffled and I'm.
I am too. We're
I want to talk about,
to
at some
out.
Point, I want to talk about all the horny secondary characters.
And well, and that's, by the way, I think what they were going for with.
Gail and Andy.
Can we just figure out the plan, though? I just want to see.
His
also,
plan.
Also, we've moved on way far past this, but did you notice in the beginning that cold open in medieval times, the dwarf from Twin Peaks?
Yes, I did notice it.
Yep.
I also noticed an interesting camera move there. I think no one taught them about like a dolly, so someone just ran with a camera.
Well, they didn't have dollies in medieval times. I think they were shooting it with the technology available in the day.
Medieval times verite.
So I guess the count's
all natural
cover,
lighting.
The count's cover was that he was trying to like build up tourism for their German town or whatever that
right,
place
that,
was.
The place that's covered in rain for 1,000 years.
So that was his cover. But what he was really going to do was wake up the mannequin.
I think he thinks the mannequin is going to wake up because it's now 1,000 years later.
Got it. 1,000 years later, but
she needs
I don't
to
know
be on
he's...
foreign. She needs to be in like fall in love with someone foreign or something. So
which
that's
is why
he...
she's got to be a mannequin on the move.
Yes, so that's why he's brought her there because his plan is I'll fall in love with her here and we'll go to Bermuda.
And you're then right. We'll go to Bermuda.
Yeah,
Bermuda. Okay.
But Bermuda, well, is he going to sell the diamonds to the? Because all Bermuda. the three German
henchmen
stooges. Yeah, they.
What were they, by the way? Security. What?
They. Yeah. I couldn't figure them out at all.
I actually have a clip of Ralph, Egon, and Arnold. Who, in my mind, clearly all were dubbed. They're American actors later. And this is, they're kind of the main bad guys' foils. They're big, dumb German
guys.
They're
comic relief.
They're comic relief. In a movie, I would argue, full of comic relief.
Didn't need it, yeah. Oh, didn't need them.
We have an over, we basically only have two characters that are not comic
yep,
relief.
Yep, and then everybody is, and then like a dozen characters who are ludicrous.
Here are the German Three Stooges.
What have you done with the enchanted peasant girl?
You guys are not supposed to be back here. I'm going to have to call security.
There she is. Whew, that was a close one. Not a word of this to the count. We don't want to get him upset.
One of my favorite scenes of the movie was when the female truck driver.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Up
dancing
these
in the street.
Three German guys.
These three German guys who are getting naked and dancing in the middle of a highway.
They go, that's the best way to stop a garbage truck.
And then they
that's
pick them up.
For
they
them.
Pick them up in a dumpster. And then activate the dumpster so it dumps them into the trash.
Well, that's inexplicable, but I really did want to watch a whole movie about those two ladies. One of them,
they were awesome.
They were amazing.
One of them, I think, is drinking a glass of milk. Like, she had white stuff all over her.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if she'd they were just saying all over she's her face. Foaming at the mouth.
But maybe.
Two of them were but looking they, at these
they
guys.
They were like, yeah, they were like feasting their eyes on these beefcakes in the street. It is, I wrote all about it. I was like, what is up with these? Because they're two gross ladies in a trash truck who like look at these guys in the street, and it is so like they are like Lenny out. And Squiggy, like, yeah. And
one of them's wearing a hard hat in the car. Why?
Well, I don't know. But so it's so funny what, you know, their reactions to them. And then, yeah, they pick them up and dump them in the.
Well, like, are they going to use them later?
It's a metaphor.
Because later on, it seems like they just drop them off. It's like
I think they only do drop them off. I mean, maybe they fucked those guys.
I would hope they probably did.
It if they just straight up. But that's what I mean. Everybody's horny in this movie.
Is June, when you? I mean, you know, I know you only for a little time when you were single, but would you like try to throw guys in the garbage can? Like when you got really into a guy?
It's a classic move.
Then those three beefcakes change into like
Bermuda wear,
80s era workout gear.
See, I think this is what happened. I think there was one scene where they said they were planning on going to Bermuda, and they picked up their Bermuda clothes.
I think you're right.
In
the department store
that they cut. So inexplicably, we do know they don't have clothes from the trash can. But they arrive in the next scene in
Dayglow pink
Bermuda wear.
Yeah, it looks more like one of them guys is wearing like fingerless weightlifting gloves.
I'm trying to
but
think.
But I think they were ready for Bermuda.
Really? Because there's so much time before they go to Bermuda.
I know, they're kind of get dressed, out of those clothes.
They're kind of dressed like Bruno was dressed and when he was like wearing a bathing suit. It's like that long V. It's all the way down into tight, tight shorts.
They're wearing like spandex shorts, like ripped up tank tops, weightlifting gloves.
It's like Let's Get Physical music video.
I couldn't figure out why they were wearing that. They would be wearing that when they were like the Count's security team, and the Count would be dressed in like a suit. And like be with like three guys that looked like they just walked out of Gold's Gym for like a workout.
Well, oh boy, I would say that this movie that's stereotyping Germans. I think we would be remiss.
As what though? Even it's just idiots.
I felt like it was I definitely felt like they were poking fun at because one of them's named Arnold.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I feel like they were all trying.
By the way, the entire like meet cute of this movie, the way that they come together and is so strange. It's predicated upon this idea that those German guys crashed their truck.
Yes. It said keep right. One of them said, the sign said, keep right. And the cop's like, at the end of the bridge, you fucking idiot.
Don't drive off the bridge. Like, as in Germany, I guess you can drive off bridges.
And then two guys who happen to be working at this department store see this accident, and Jason jumps in. I mean, it's...
No. They were supposed to go. Hollywood gets the call. It's like, the truck, it's crashed. And then they jump in the car.
In his pink Cadillac,
So he drives over there because he's already heard it's crashed?
Yeah, yes, he's wearing.
Oh, I didn't realize
A weird
that.
Little connection is this is the same pink Cadillac used in the movie Mac and Me, a movie that we discussed in this podcast as well.
Oh, my God.
Same pink Cadillac, and I believe the same director.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. We should do a whole thing that is like, if that car's been in any other movies, we're going to do those movies. We should be completist with that pink Cadillac.
I would love to do that.
I also want to talk about how... how Meshack Taylor also plays the bouncer at the nightclub.
Well, yeah. Well, I want to talk about Meshack Taylor in general as far as I think based on when I saw this and where I was in my life, which was very young, Meshack Taylor may have been my first introduction to someone who is gay, right?
You think he's gay in this movie?
Oh, he definitely
he reminded me of Kimmy Schmidt's roommate.
Pinot Noir.
The sound of his voice.
Take a listen to this is kind of how we first meet Hollywood Montrose.
Do you remember Miss Diana Ross in the movie Mahogany?
Yeah.
Give me cheekbones, or give me death.
Makes everyone suck in their cheeks.
Montrose, I need to talk to you.
The wizard's not here. Go away.
This is a rehearsal for a mall show.
This is in like a 600-seat theater that exists in a department store.
Yeah. Sure, for all their live shows.
Okay, I know we're going back to the basic plot of the movie, but why? Okay, if we're saying the Count, I know we're going back to it. But if we're saying the Count wanted to bring her here to break the spell, why does he need a show?
I think that's the pretense. The show's on tour. That's his excuse to get her out of the country, to foreign land.
Now, why does this department store need this show?
Because all Philadelphia's elite needs to be entertained on such a high quality.
By the way, he's the Count. That's his fucking mannequin.
Yeah.
If he needs to get it on foreign soil,
It's the Queen's mannequin. That's why she's on the phone with him on the white courtesy phone and is like, I didn't want the peasant girl to go abroad. I didn't want this. This is your thing. And
but they literally made $52 last year in tourism.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, means that those four women that are touring the museum probably was the entire
I did have a laugh when the queen said the weather's turned.
Yeah. Turned nice here.
Turned nice. And it was storming out.
I wanted to talk about is Hollywood offensive, I guess, and that's a question. Like, because now looking at it, like,
it's an insane caricature of a gay man.
The first mannequin and thinking like this is comedy.
That's what I think too.
He was hilarious.
His glasses are so funny.
In this one, his glasses are made of scissors,
and his earrings were little scissors too.
And all of his jokes are like gay one-liners. They're all about a few good men in the Marine getting in a few good men or whatever.
Meshach Taylor is, I believe, famous for playing gay people, and designing women. He was a gay guy.
I looked it up last night. Not gay, married, straight man. It's funny to think how far we've come. This is now. Like, the first movie was 87. This is 91.
This is 91?
91. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would have put this at 87.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shocking.
Yeah, so that's like...
Yeah, weirdly, the first one feels more...
Present.
Present.
I would flip them around.
Well, I mean, and I will say, just to speak to what you're saying, Paul, like, this is still an era where, like, a lot of this is like, Long Duck Dong in 16 Candles around this time. This is still an era where there's a lot of minorities are represented in ways that are gross, what we would terribly now look at offensive. As gross caricatures.
Yeah.
But then we were like, this is totally normal, right?
Yeah.
Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium-flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the news? Well, you are not alone. Listen to Love It or Leave It, hosted by former Obama speechwriter and comedian John Lovett. As a former White House staffer, he is no stranger to political chaos. But don't worry, that doesn't mean he's keeping a cool head in today's chaos-filled news cycle. Far from it. It is the only show where you hear Golden Globe winner Greta Lee give award-worthy readings of listener mail and Kathy Griffin go off on all things MAGA. Hold tight to your sanity and listen to Love It or Leave It wherever you get your podcasts.
I have one question about the dance club sequence.
Okay.
Okay. When they're waiting to go online, there are three men that walk into that club who are all hunched over, wearing white t-shirts.
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
Why? What would...
Okay. Because they're... Oh, God, I wish we had a clip of this. They're hunched over. I mean, they're young guys, but are, like, completely, like... They're almost touching the ground with their hands. And it looks like, oh, this is like a cool late 80s, early 90s, like a hip-hop style. Then they go into the dance club, and they are slow dancing with women at one point, and all three of them are still hunched over.
I don't remember. I'm going to pull it up,
but I mean, it's going to be visual. As many of my favorite moments in this movie are incredibly visual.
Oh, yeah. So when he gives CPR to the mannequin?
Oh, amazing. There's so much. I was gonna say,
we should just call her a doll because she's really not a mannequin.
Yeah.
Perfect. Is she a doll? I think she is. She is a statue. We should also say that this movie all takes place in arguably 72 hours. This movie takes place in the time of that movie, the Benghazi movie that Michael Bay made.
Yep.
So it was going on in a simultaneous world as a Benghazi.
This movie is also about Benghazi.
Yeah.
First of all, I will say that Meshach Taylor playing that guy as a bouncer was great. I like that a lot. I think he's a versatile guy.
As the bouncer, he's hilarious. You know, like that. I feel like, and I bet that's all improvised, like him just like deciding who gets to go into the club and stuff. It was funny.
I feel like everything that he did was kind of improvised.
Pop culture stuff. He's talking like the Diana Ross stuff. He's talking about pop culture constantly throughout the movie.
That's why he got brought
so
back.
Many dance breaks. So many.
He's dancing in the nightclub, he's dancing like an insane person.
Yes. And she starts to dance like an insane
person.
Can we
talk budgets, too, by the way?
Sure.
This movie was $13 million.
Well, here's an interesting thing about this movie. And it's a very big package to unwrap, but I will quickly talk about this. The movie was produced by this place called Gladden Entertainment, which is formed in 1984 by David Beagleman, right? And he packaged the idea of he came up with the idea of a package deal. And he basically embezzled all this money from all of his movies. He eventually was caught and killed himself in a hotel room.
Oh, my God.
Was there a mannequin there?
There was a mannequin. The LA Times wrote an article on it. It was one of the biggest business scandals ever in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
He started off stealing money from Judy Garland when he was her manager. He blackmailed Judy Garland for more money.
Jesus.
Then he would take inflated budgets and then pocket all that money.
Oh, wow.
So basically, his whole company was liquidated because he wasn't paying actors residuals.
Oh, wow.
This guy's a really bad dude. And then his partner, equally bad, this guy Bruce McNeil, he owned the LA Kings. And he wrote a book called Fun While It Lasted, My Rise and Fall in the Land of Fame and Fortune.
Huh.
And he served 13 months in jail for embezzling over $236 million from several banks over a 10-year period.
Whoa.
Holy cow.
So I imagine a lot of that $13 million is in the pockets of these two guys.
It had to, because I was watching it going, where is that money?
It all takes place clearly in just like a studio that is, you know.
The first one was just like...
The first
maybe
one,
6 million?
7.9 million.
Yeah.
Made 6 million on the opening weekend, beat Over the Top. This movie came out, made 1.6 million many years later.
Oh,
and,
Jesus.
And it was beaten by a lot of things. It came in 133rd of all the movies released that year.
There were some good movies, I think.
Terminator 2,
yeah.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Beauty and the Beast. The only movie that we've done that it's beaten is Cool as Ice. So that was just to give you an idea. And the movie was also written by 5 different people. And in my research of those guys, one of the main writers said, we subscribe to the 24-second rule, that we never spent more than 24 seconds figuring out the logic of this movie.
Whoa, that is evident.
And it shows, yeah.
That's a crazy thing to openly admit. He's like, yeah, we did. Like, he's like, there's a lot of plot holes in it, but... We didn't spend more than 24 seconds trying to justify anything.
And I feel like they genuinely did the other thing, which is when in doubt, do a montage.
Yeah. Oh.
When in doubt, do play a song and just do a montage. She is like, at some point, she's like, she wants to change her appearance.
Yes.
And all it is so a song starts up. Like, she's like, how can I change my appearance? And then they're like, go for it, girl. And then she's like, okay. And it's just... Her looking in the mirror, trying on formal gowns and hats.
But a lot of hats.
I was formal like, gown, formal gown, formal gown, hat, hat,
well,
hat.
Well, this was an era of hats, though, on women.
Oh, 91?
You know, yeah. This was like Blossom and like lots of hats on lots of ladies.
I just felt like I wanted to see a real dress-up montage, and it just felt like a hat montage.
Or like change your appearance so that the people that are chasing you, she just basically is like, I'm going to be black tie, ready.
Well, they did run past her at one point towards the end of the montage.
They did.
I was aching for her to cut that hair. Hair was
you come off that hair.
Insane.
It was, but peasant chic.
It was horrible, and I... I think I do have something against women with hair that's like really long like that.
Oh boy.
It's just so weird. Gross.
You know, now, what if gross to me? Yeah. What if a woman had hair that long and lived in Philadelphia? Like,
but that was
I feel like those, that woman would be like the number one enemy of your household.
I so wanted her to cut that hair into like a really cool bob.
Ooh, like Helen Slater in
Helen Slater.
Helen Slater. Oh. And Give My Brother Back His Bike. What was that movie?
Oh, my Bodyguard?
No. Oh, love that movie too. No. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Better Off Dead.
Nope. Fuck.
Well, June, while we're talking about hair, someone did write in on the forums and they said they really wanted to hear your opinion on man buns. That's Taylor Ann Photo wanted to know what you think about man buns.
In general or in this movie?
In general. We were talking about hair.
Buns.
Buns, though, is interesting because you don't like buns. And they said move your buns in this movie.
Yeah. It's not that I don't like buns. I just don't think they're – I think movies portray them as, like, super sexy to women, and I don't think they are. But
– that's been well documented.
It's weird, though, that everybody makes fun of man buns, but dudes keep wearing – I'm like –
well, we're talking about two different things, too. We're talking about man buns being a hairstyle and buns of men being their butts.
So I don't mind man buns, but I prefer a low man bun.
Oh.
I don't love, like, a high
– like a samurai.
Got it.
Like where yours is.
Yeah.
So you don't like a
– resting on the back.
You don't like a fat Jew man bun.
You like a
– that's not even a man bun,
you like a ponytail.
No, I don't like a ponytail.
Oh, you don't.
But I would prefer it in a – I'd actually think I'd prefer it in a bun now that we're unpacking this. But low at the nape of the neck.
Oh. Tidy or messy?
Like a
messy.
Knot. Not messy, even a bun though, right?
Yeah, like a little – a knot. Yeah, loose. Not too well groomed. By the way, I don't like this but at all. But just if I had to choose, that's where I would place it.
Well –
No. That's what people want to know.
We got the intro. Here's another thing I want to run by you guys. We talked a lot about this theater. And what was
the
going
theater
on?
In the department store?
Yes. What is going on in the theater?
Auditorium.
What's going on there? Do you think? Just like, what would you describe what they're doing?
Wait, in the case of this movie,
what would you describe they're doing?
The actual show that they end up putting on.
Yeah. You'd call it a show. What would you call it?
I would call it the opening of the exhibit. Of the peasant girl.
And what would you call it?
I guess I would call it an evening for the department store.
I think there
will be entertainment.
Well, I think it's the shit you see at like Fashion Week where they have the bring out the new styles.
You're all wrong because, and you missed the many cues. I'll tell you exactly what it is here if we just play this clip because they say it a lot of times.
On the Hauptmann König presentation, how important that presentation is? The eyes of the entire city will be on that presentation.
I'm going to breathe some light into this presentation.
You saved the presentation and my phony baloney job.
Count Pretzel, I think you'll be pleased at our handling of your presentation.
Let's get busy. We have a presentation. Someone has got to glitz up this presentation.
Count, we have a presentation tomorrow afternoon.
All we have to do is wait till the presentation is over.
This is my story. My presentation.
He's about to ruin my presentation.
Presentation.
So that is a supercut of all the times that they said the presentation is a presentation.
That is a meaningless word.
What are you? They didn't even understand what they were doing.
Presenting this doll?
Which is the least impressive doll. It doesn't look like her. It's not exciting.
It would basically be like if when like the King Tut exhibit toured the country.
It went to the Macy's gallery.
Macy's and Nordstrom's.
Oh, we got to go to Nordstrom's this week, and they have King Tut.
And I got it. And I have to get some briefs.
And I did not realize that part of it seems like a one night only event. And then when you see what it is, it's a full on singing and dancing.
Oh, it is a full stage show.
King Tut.
That's what it would be like if King Tut was like King Tut came to life. That's Malekin. That's the plot of Malekin. King Tut is in the Nordstrom's. And except that I thought about this for a second, and here's what I think. I think part of the problem would be that we understand that mannequins have no genitalia.
I can't have sex.
So dude, wait. Mannequins would not have dicks.
No, but she was a present girl frozen, well,
so
she
doesn't have a vagina?
No, she does
because we saw her as a human being.
So you think they took her clothes off while she was a mannequin, she would still have a vagina?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes.
Yes.
She's
no.
frozen in time.
For sure.
She, no,
if you, a wooden, if you, vagina.
No,
she would be like,
they
would be labia majora, labia minora. There would be a clitoral hood, a clitoris.
A mannequin.
She doesn't have. She doesn't have a vagina. She doesn't have nipples as a mannequin.
But as a human, she does.
Yes.
No.
And that's what happens in that moment where the screen gets fuzzy.
She gets nipples.
Yes.
Nipples come back.
Well, nope. Okay. Well, let me ask.
Kim Cattrall at one point was also a human.
Yes, but she was a. But her thing is that she's a frozen human. Kim Cattrall is, she's a spirit.
I guess she was made.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. Like, here's the thing. Well, this supports.
But Kim Cattrall, he did make a vagina on her.
Do we know that?
Make. I guess.
How do we know that he's a dry humper?
You got to get Andrew McCarthy in here.
I want to call Kim Cattrall and be like, listen. You probably saw the mannequin that was built to be you. Were their lips?
But I don't understand your point that you couldn't do it with a man because he wouldn't have genitalia.
Well, I feel like there would. I guess.
Well, King Tut would have genitalia.
Yeah, I guess it would be the same thing for this. I guess in this, like, the mannequins still have boobs. There's still like an element of sexuality to them that is like covetable. But male mannequins are just like handsome dolls in a weird way. They're sexless.
Interesting.
I feel like, but maybe, yeah.
Maybe you haven't met the right mannequin.
They're mannequin.
By the way, I think we should put an undercover on hold and get into mannequin three.
The confusing part about that, I'm.
Manic him.
Manic. He's a mannequin who's
manic
really
him. Manic him.
Because King Tut was very manic. They had to freeze him up.
Yep.
Wait, now I do want to ask about what goes on when you are frozen, because she seems to like just be frozen. But then when Hollywood gets it, he's like, I was in Oz. I saw Dorothy. I saw everybody. But is he living in an alternate hell zone? Like when you are frozen as a mannequin, or are you just like literally like boom, boop, and like immediately? Because she seemed to have no.
She thought it had been 10 minutes.
Yeah. And even 10
when
minutes
she came
seems
to,
oddly.
She's like, I just saw you 15 minutes, 10
yeah.
minutes ago.
Yeah. She should have just said, I just saw you seconds ago because.
Yeah.
But yeah. Because. But it seemed like
like
Hollywood was in a very weird.
He lived like a full life.
He entered the void. He entered like an existential void that he did not understand. When he that was the other thing is he was able to put the necklace on himself,
yes.
and turn himself into a mannequin.
Yeah,
which was strange.
And then,
no, by the way, there's no way she has genitalia as a mannequin.
Okay, well,
no way.
You don't
she
think
doesn't
so.
Have nipples.
So you think that she puts the necklace on and her nipples and vagina go away? Yeah.
Smooth.
Just like other things go away. She doesn't
look like her.
She doesn't look exactly like herself. Her skin's different. Like,
do you think there are organs inside of her?
Of course not.
Definitely
frozen.
No,
organs.
So you think she's hollow? She becomes a hollow.
Yes,
thing.
I agree with that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, made of wood. She's made of wood. Everything was wood.
And you can tell by the way people hold her. She doesn't weigh that much.
I just pulled up
That's true.
I pulled up a picture of
nipples aren't heavy, though.
I'm going to post this on our Earwolf course.
I mean, like, that's a real question. How heavy are nipples?
I mean, very, very heavy.
We really want to get a listener
to stand on a scale and weigh herself.
No,
and
I want to show everybody
nipples.
This
and
is
then
by
Chrissy
Swanson
they do
standing
make
next to her.
Now that have nipples.
Yeah,
that's Chrissy Swanson.
And I don't like it.
Standing next to it. So that's the difference.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to post this on the Earwolf boards and I'll put it on Twitter. It's like they do look.
What is for sale in that?
The picture. Just the picture. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish you could buy the mannequin. But yeah, the mannequin's not even very impressive either. And it doesn't seem like, because at the end of the movie, when Weekend at Bernie's guy is now the mannequin that's put together and oddly his
ooh,
ear.
That was upsetting when he like falls out of the
creepy.
Balloon.
Yeah. But, well, they had to figure out a way to kill the bad guy without really killing him.
So we have evidence. Actually, we have evidence from the movie that they are empty. Because when he falls to the ground, he shatters. He shatters, and he is just there is nothing inside. Okay.
What I wish they had done with her too is given her a face, like his face and expression sort of look like him, as does Hollywood's. But with her, she, as a mannequin, has a very serious expression on her face.
Well, she just has a mannequin's.
Yeah.
She looks like just a store mannequin where they look like frozen versions of themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Which is different.
There was an episode of Seinfeld called The Mannequin where there was an Elaine mannequin that looked exactly like her.
Yes.
A, and it really fucking looked like Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
But this is, we could talk for a long time about how advanced mannequin technology has gotten.
I mean, look,
that was in the 90s.
If you go to Japan, you could get the best mannequins.
Absolutely.
I mean, everything in there.
With even genitals.
Fully genital mannequins.
Miso mannequin.
Ooh, we got to put some Jennies on these mannies.
Well, that's always the interesting thing about the Ken Barbie is that the Ken Barbie always had underwear on.
Oh, really?
Really?
And Barbie, and Barbie, as we know her, doesn't have any underwear.
Wait, that's crazy. But that's how it should be.
Because she's nasty. But that's
because a guy's got special junk in there. Why don't you get just throw out there?
She has no vagina, obviously, but there's no.
Barbie doesn't.
Barbie doesn't.
But Ken doesn't have a.
I think he definitely does because he's covering something.
No, he's got flat. He's flattened.
No, but I get what you're saying.
He's flat, but they put
underwear on. Intimating.
Okay,
it's intimating that he should be wearing underwear. Is that right?
Can you look that up, Paul?
That Ken underwear?
Ken
underwear. So if you just Google Ken doll underwear, please.
Yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
And see if anybody on Etsy is making it.
Kendall is wearing underwear.
Yeah, he wears underwear.
He has
really?
Well, he looks like he's being sold underwear.
Paul, I don't want you
it's
to.
It's not underwear you put on him. Look at a naked Kendall.
Oh, boy.
Look up naked Kendall.
Oh, God. This is.
Here we go.
At some point, you're going to forget about this, June. You're going to look at his Google history and be like, what are you up to?
Well, one time I was doing a bit with her and we were on Amazon and I was looking for Father's Day gifts and we just typed in the most obscene thing to see what popped up in Amazon. And now all my suggestions on Amazon are disgusting erotica or sex books. Male anatomically correct.
Look under images.
Oh, wow. All right.
This is amazing.
All right. So I'm looking.
He's wearing underwear.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He's not wearing physical underwear, but. His waist is designed as plastic underwear.
Built into his body.
Yeah.
Oh, let me see.
So, it's
he always has that on. He always has briefs on.
See, so he's wearing.
So the doll is the mold.
There's no
sumo underwear.
This will also be on.
Okay, so that's interesting because that suggests that there is a dick under there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But Barbie is without.
Look up Barbie.
Now, and will you also look up American Girl doll bra? Just look it up. Just see. Not because I'm looking for one, but I just want to know.
Barbie has,
No underwear.
Right. But also no genitalia. She's just smooth.
So. She's not
But she kind of has a little
this
bit of
this is
a,
no, what we're into right now,
Paul,
guys.
Don't look.
Guys, no, no, whoa. No,
that's a shadow, first of all.
That's a shadow. But this is we have lost our minds. We are just passing around a computer looking at naked dolls for sale on eBay. Guys, what is happening?
There is a cleft there.
Yeah, I see it.
Completely smooth.
There's a little camel toe.
There's a cloven.
There's a little. There. There's a suggestion of an opening. There's a hint of
lip. Well, because her butt has to start.
Yeah.
Her butt has to start.
Where does that say that brings
not
up a
in
good
the
question,
front, dude?
That
her butt doesn't start.
That's
front.
That brings up a question. Where does the butt start, Paul?
Well, I'm saying
at the taint, dude. Where does the butt start?
Do me a favor. Look up naked Barbie ass or butt.
I can't. All right, this is a naked Barbie butt right here, and then there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
That
so she's got
genitals.
That's
and it goes underneath. You see, it goes in between.
Oh my God! What? Well, that's the same thing. The Ken was an old one that had that underwear.
We're gonna be putting on all this.
Guys, what is
God,
this?
I'm
is
throw up.
Guys, I love that this is where this podcast has gone.
You guys need a "How did this get made?" T-shirt that's just a Barbie crotch.
Yep. And then it says, where does the butt start?
How did this get made?
Where does the butt start?
Well, here's a comparison.
Where does the butt start?
Oh, this is interesting.
Fucking
90s Barbie has underwear.
Really?
Oh. No.
But 2000s Barbie doesn't.
Oh. What about earlier?
Well,
than
that's 90s? Like that's the same as pubic
that's
hair.
That's not true, Paul.
That's the same as pubic hair because 90s Barbie had a landing strip and 2000s Barbie had that's nothing. Not true.
Oh, holy my gosh.
My oh, boy.
This is
pretty great.
I love it all. well, I think we've talked about everything in this movie I did want to say, so when the bad guy is now re-put back together, like.
I love it. We're not going to recover from this. We're never going to recover. This is what this show is about.
We mentioned his horrible mole.
Did they have to?
Can you look for Barbie mole? Let's
see. Barbie hairy mole Barbie.
Medieval Barbie.
By the way, I bet you we could all pool together money and get that Terry Kaiser dummy.
Why doesn't Barbie have nipples?
Great question. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she has boobs. Why doesn't Barbie have nipples?
There's so much to be said about Barbie.
Ken has nipples, right? Does Ken have nipples?
Look up Ken doll nipples.
I'm looking at Ken doll nipples.
I don't think he does. He has like pecs, but I
but no nips.
No, but Ken has sexuality.
I'm listening.
Look up Ken doll sexuality.
How does Barbie, Ken have sexuality?
Ken has sexuality because he's covering it. We know there's a dick over there.
That Barbie, I agree with.
Barbie has nothing other than boobs and the shape of her.
Yes.
Oh my
but she
God.
Has no vagina.
She has no vagina and no nips.
And no nips.
So she Ken can't doll. Have children. Does she have a uterus? Does Barbie have a uterus?
I don't think so. And
I don't either, frankly, because I've checked.
It's fascinating because
Ken doll does not have nipples. He has the definition. Okay. He has everything but pecs, no nipples.
Yes.
Pecs, no nips. And she has boobs, no nips.
And
so I guess that
that makes sense.
No that adds up.
So we are in agreement that Christy Swanson...
Lost
even
her.
Though she, well, but Christy
I don't
Swanson,
think we are in agreement.
I don't think.
I think I'm agreeing with Jason that Christy Swanson is the rare exception. She's the mannequin with nips and an asshole and a vagina because she's a frozen woman.
But where
I
does
agree.
Her butt start?
Where does her butt start?
Her butt starts in the front.
Oh, front butt? Front oh, are we butt. Talking about Christy Swanson's front
butt? It
might
be all
front
butt from the front to the back. It might. She might just have
oh,
a butt.
My search history is forever unclean. Oh, I think the only way that we can kind of recover from this is to hear Meshack Taylor do something that people might assume is rapping. Take a listen.
Once upon a time, a peasant girl was victim of a crime. Was frozen ever since. She dared to love the handsome prince. Is that so wrong? But alas, 1,000 years have passed since that spell from hell had been cast.
That is Hollywood now a part of the show. Hollywood's job, hard to pin down.
He is explaining to a bunch of onlookers who don't give a shit about this mannequin.
Let me
but
ask
yet
you
they
this.
Are applauding at the end because a spaceship is coming down to deliver her to a medieval fiend stage.
Yes.
That's the other thing that makes no sense. Yeah. Not an alien. Nothing alien about this.
When there's not a presentation to do.
Yes.
What is Hollywood's job?
I would think designing
bouncer.
Window displays. What if it was Hollywood? He just like
that's his
I
night job.
This, I put this outfit on and I kind of do this whole.
It's
you
a
know,
paycheck, yeah. man.
I do this offensive stereotype.
I mean,
because
I have to think that they're doing a ton of presentations here.
Are they? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I still don't understand why the department store even wanted. Like, what are they getting? Although Teenarama is coming to cover this event.
Teenarama. Do you understand what that means? Oh. Teenarama will be here.
Oh, my God.
Jack up the prices on all the jewelry. And then we got that guy, William Ragsdale, to do it. Yet a third character, a British guy. They all were working it out.
Oh, yeah.
Terry Kaiser's main thing was just to hit people in the face, which I did kind of.
At a certain point, he gets into a full suit of armor.
Yes.
Oh. And I was like, when?
With the crossbow.
Where and did this come from?
And she starts driving a car.
A go-kart.
A go-kart very well. And she's, again, a peasant girl who
she drives the go-kart out onto from, the like, street. Downtown Philly to Germantown, to his house.
Yeah.
She drives a go-kart to the suburbs of Philadelphia, to his house, which she somehow knows
and
how to get to.
And they justify by saying, wow, she's got a great sense of direction. Right.
She drives okay, well, a go-kart. Through a plate glass window.
Under a truck.
Which would shred her. It would destroy, it would cut her to ribbons.
It would cut her genitals off. It would skin her nipples.
Oh, God.
Man alive.
Well, and Andy and Gail finally get together because he, like, hairsprays the German guys.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, starts making out with him. That's what I mean. Like, everybody is, like,
looking
gets,
for love.
They're looking for love. It's like the
even the girl, the perfume girl in the security guard.
Yeah, that's Gail and Andy, Gail. You know? Yeah. That's,
yeah,
it reminded me.
I didn't know their names. I didn't know their names.
How dare you. It reminded me of the horny friend from, Village People movie. Her friend who was like always horny for all the Village People. It doesn't matter who cares.
There's a Village People movie.
Oh, it's amazing. Boy. Can't stop the music. You'll love it.
Aging.
Oh, here's what I thought the ending was going to be. Instead of putting the necklace on Terry Kaiser, I thought they should have just killed him straight up.
Murder.
That the and this is my 80s male chauvinist end of the movie. That the necklace somehow falls into the hands of the security guard. And as the perfume lady is doing thing, he puts it on her, and then he gets to keep her.
Ew.
That was how I thought.
And that's not male chauvinist. That is that's just sick. Creepy serial killer. Ooh, yeah, no, you know what it should be is the guy who loves the girl.
I want that.
But the girl doesn't want to be with him. He should trap her with a necklace.
But I thought that like it felt like that wouldn't have been out of the norm if he did that.
I thought that they were going to tie the necklace around each other's necks on an air balloon and then grab hands and jump off.
What?
God.
They were going to kill themselves as mannequins?
They were going to Thelma and Louise
and
themselves?
And they would just freeze frame credits.
Wow. I would have liked that.
Together.
Now,
that's from the first movie.
It was? That's, I was like, they got Starship to do this?
Yeah, the best part of the movie in many ways is the song from the first movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a really wild ending you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought they were just going to straight up kill the bad guy and just sail away in the hot air balloon.
Well, they do kind of kill
what they do.
Well, they kill the bad guy. It's a really disturbing end because then the garbage truck picks him up and they reveal that they've put him back together. But when they go back to Barvaria, wherever he's from, the tour guide goes, this is the and that's the story of the count, but no one believes it. Well, clear. This just happened a couple weeks ago. Like
it's probably in the news.
You woman who was the tour guide when you were showing the peasant girl earlier in the movie, like the count was part of your country as of mere weeks ago.
And you were
like,
giving
a human being
tour.
That was a known entity.
You were giving the tour to the girl, the
peasant girl.
She should have been like, yeah, I was actually here. It kind of freaked me out.
Oh, it was like 2 months ago.
Yeah, she should have had like a little bit of an emotional moment.
Well,
like,
see, that's in that moment. I thought we had jumped 1,000 years ahead. I thought we were, and I was like, and I looked at the frame because I was like, oh, are we in the future now? What are they? How are they representing that? And I was like, oh no, they're not.
Dude, Mannequin 3 is all Terry Kaiser.
Yep,
1,000 years in the future.
Yep, I love that.
Future Mall.
It's 2091.
By the way, if these tour guys know this lore about these mannequins, why don't they just fucking take the necklace off the mannequins and see for themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. That
I have
be...
now thought of a reason why mannequin is bad. It almost sounds like a male pelican, not a male mannequin.
Well, we could also, mannequin is for men and women, so we could keep it.
Mannequin.
Mannequin.
Well, I do wonder, because mannequins, you know, mannequin does imply that, like, the first mannequins were men.
I'm not sure.
It's just a male world and we all have to accept it?
Yeah. I'm wondering what the etymology of the word is, and I don't know that it's like man.
Oh. I'm looking it up right now. Going to the definition. A mannequin, also called a mannequin, a dummy, a lay figure, or a dress form, is an articulated doll used by artists, tailors, dressmakers, and window dressers, and others to display off fit clothing. It's life-size dolls with simulated airways. It's also used for life-size dolls with simulated airways.
But genitalia? Does it say anything about genitalia?
Let's see. They're using nuclear tests.
Ooh, does it say where the butt starts?
Let's see. I'll take this one. Oh, mannequin comes from the French word meaning mannequin. French word mannequin, which acquired the meaning an artist jointed model, which came from the Flemish word mannequin, meaning little man figurine. And it was used in United Kingdom. It referred to fashion models themselves.
Oh.
The meaning as a dummy dating from the start of World War II.
Interesting. So, yeah, guys, so, we really got to the bottom of it.
We really did it. And I'm just looking at mannequins with nipples right now. So anyway, obviously we had an opinion about it, but there are other people out there who had a second opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. They are weird, so let's get into it. Okay. This is really interesting because these reviews are from an Amazon box set of Mannequin 2 and Mannequin 1 together. Ooh, so you'll see a little bit of crossover here. This one is from Brenda Hobby, a.k.a. Taz Brataz. And this is written on August 19th, 2014. So relatively new. I don't care for love stories. But you know how usually the first one is better than these second ones?
I'm made of hate.
Well, these two are amazingly equal. And they were so much more than a love story.
Oh, boy.
They were clever. They were cunningly funny. Ugh. And they kept you drawn to the edge of your seat to see what can happen next. It was a damn goodbye and an awesome add to my DVD collection.
Holy shit.
5 stars.
5 fucking stars?
5 stars.
Nope.
And I get it.
This one is one of my favorites of just all Amazon reviews. This is from Blonde Freddy, written in 2012. I really like Mannequin. The best version is the second one. I have bought several movies, kind of a lot of them, and all are made with quality workmanship. The movies are perfect. No faults. Sound is awesome. Who would have thought Amazon.com would have great movies? This is the place to buy a good movie or even rent one, too. I tell everyone to go to Amazon.com to buy all movies.
Paul.
People always ask, where is a good place to buy a good movie online? Easy answer, Amazon.com, of course.
Paul, this is Amazon. A review for Amazon.
Paul, is Amazon our sponsor this week?
I win. 5 stars. Just because Amazon was good. Now, this is a thing that kind of came up a lot, which was people did not like Kim Cattrall. They felt that she was too sexy. And a lot of people liked Christy Swanson more because she was a little bit more genteel. But the rest are all written kind of like this. This is from Get the Dirt. 5 stars, Get the Dirt, from Rebecca Durank. Okay, now bear with me on this. I always think that Christy Swanson is a beautiful actress. And in this movie, her lover boyfriend wants to treat her like a queen and also to fight for her honor, so that is more like going after. A man who has no knowledge to be a hitman to make things look like taking Christy hostage in his hot air balloon, and I think he is threatening the couple of love, facing a fear and turning into stone in a magic spell, so he's taking a big dose of his medicine by kidnapping the princess.
Oof.
So that was a 5-star review.
That's a 5-star.
That's a 5. And then that's followed by this one, which is from Crazy Python, also written in 2012.
Crazy Python.
First of all, I didn't buy this DVD. But I will when I have the chance.
Oh.
We're having many financial problems here in Portugal.
Oh, no.
And while I don't want to start to go nuclear on the government, nothing will ever change.
Oh, boy.
But I still love Mannequin 2. I first saw it on video 500 years ago because of William Ragsdale, Herman's Head, and Terry Kaiser. Let's face it, Weekend at Bernie's is a fantastic comedy, and Herman's Head was a very funny sitcom with both Hank Azaria and Yeardley Smith from The Simpsons. Maybe Shout will open their eyes and release this on DVD while we're still alive.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
But the story of Mannequin 2 itself is quite amusing and entertaining. Who ever thought of finding a woman of their dreams in a magical place? I know I did. So please don't care about professional film critics and their opinions. They're about as valid as yours. Buy this DVD. 5 stars.
Don't care about their opinions, but they're as valid as yours?
Yeah, so your opinion is equally invalid as theirs.
I'm wondering now, like, they didn't even have the materials in medieval time to turn her into a mannequin. Like, she should have been stone.
That's what I think, too. She would, or a really carved, or a crude wood carving.
Carving, yeah.
Yes.
She shouldn't have just turned into a modern-day mannequin.
Yeah, no, she turned into a store mannequin, which would not have existed in medieval times.
No.
Even remotely.
But then you could argue that accents would probably be in medieval times, too. Let's go around the table. Would you recommend this movie, June? Would you say watch this movie?
I didn't love watching this movie.
Oh, interesting.
Not
a fan.
Just didn't.
Steve?
I totally recommend it. I was telling Jason, I had to go to Largo last night, and I got halfway through the movie, and my whole time at Largo, I was just going, I can't wait to go back and finish this. It had huge holes. I hated the German guys so much, but I thought it was kind of funny. I love Christy Swanson so much.
I loved her too.
Yeah. I would 100% watch this, and I will – I really
you should go back and see the first
I was gonna say
one.
Makes me want to watch the first one because I know I saw it when it came out, but I have no reference points for it.
I also highly recommend watching this movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I mean, it's crazy.
Like the music cues alone. I mean, if you're my age, if you're like in your 40s, if you're a teenager in the 80s, the music cues alone are so satisfying.
Oh yeah.
For how, like for the songs and the montages and just the ancillary kind of chase music like is so terrific. It's all sounds like forgotten Oingo Boingo songs.
It's so 80s it's even great. Though it's in the 90s.
Yeah.
I will also say that that you can get both of these movies together in a great DVD combo pack for almost $3. So
unless you're in Portugal and
don't make me go nuclear. I apologize to the people of Philadelphia. You have a great city, but you know it doesn't hold a candle in New York. Suck it, Philly. Suck it. All right. So, Steve, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
Nope. You can just follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Steve Agee.
You have amazing pictures on your Instagram. Thanks. I would highly recommend following you on that. Jason, anything you want to talk about?
No, not really.
June, anything you want to hit?
You can watch the second season of Grace and Frankie on Netflix and Lady Dynamite's on Netflix, too.
Yay.
You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. That's where we announce everything about the show. Listen to our mini episodes, because if you have a correction and omission, something that we didn't talk about here, you'll have your chance to voice it. You can call us at 619.
If you know where the butt starts.
If you know where the mannequin butt starts,
you know,
you can do it. By the way, we could probably get the financing for Mannequin 3.
Oh, guys.
Oh, my God.
I feel like we could probably get Mannequin 3 Mannequin financed and made
for
$1 million.
By the way,
easy.
Not a bad idea.
It's not.
Who would we cast? Who would you cast as the Mannequin? Chris Hemsworth would be the first.
John Hamm?
Ooh, John Hamm would be great. Are you going a little bit older?
I think you got to go. Yeah, I would do like Liam Hemsworth.
James Franco.
Or like Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
Like,
Zac Efron's great.
Yeah.
Okay, and Selena Gomez, is she like the designer? Or is it like something like that?
Is it like a...
Or is it something like Holly Hunter?
What? A cougar?
Holly Hunter?
Cougar, like a cougar.
A mannequin cougar.
Wait, guys. It's Kim Cattrall.
Oh my God.
Reprising her part, falls in love.
Idea.
And we get Christy Swanson in there. It's all three transformed. Guys, let's make this goddamn
that
movie.
That is the best.
Oh my God, dude.
Not a bad idea.
Oh, that's actually a great idea.
Zac Efron, Christy Swanson,
Kim
Cattrall, and inexplicably Holly Hunter for Paul.
Holly Hunter just got us the Kim Cattrall because it's the same idea.
Yep.
And we have to have unfortunately Meshach Taylor passed away. We'd have to have Hollywood's son, I believe, in this movie. You have to find a young guy that
to
can
play that part.
The guy Hannibal from Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh yeah,
that's a great idea.
I was thinking go the opposite way, make it like Hannibal Buress.
guys,
we gotta
make this movie.
Really low key, I kind of like that.
I love it. All right, well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to everybody here at Earwolf. Thank you to Avril Haley for pulling together all those clips. Nate Kiley for doing all of our research on the movie producer that killed himself because of the financial downfall. Marissa Zeitz, our big engineer, Sam. I know, I called you big.
That's fine.
big old guy. Everybody here at Earwolf, July Diaz. Thank you so much for listening.
We'll see you in the mini episode. What is happening? We are off the rails.
How did this get made?